This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgareth.
Karen, usually this is at the beginning, at the top of the podcast. I always ask how you're doing, but it's just a reflex. You know, I do care how you're doing, but I know neither of us really have anything to report, probably. But I'm just checking. Do you?
Big news.
Do you have something to report?
No. You mean since the last time we talked to each other? Probably not. If there was a report, it would be like the lady delivered my Instacart. I feel incredibly grateful to Instacart workers. I give big tips, so don't judge me for using Instacart. I thought it was bad for a long time. The great Vince Averill explained how it's not bad if you just tip.
Yeah.
And so now I have somebody that shops for me, or an app, and goddamn, it's the greatest.
Yeah, you can only do so much. I've been trying to support independent businesses, and I'm being taught a lesson in that because I saw the refrigerator I wanted. It was right down at Home Depot, this retro-looking red refrigerator. I'm very excited about it, but I decided to support an independent business and ordered it from St. Louis. And it still hasn't shipped. It's been over 4 weeks.
A refrigerator.
Yeah, a refrigerator that I've been looking at for years.
Let's introduce our guest so that he can get in on this discussion because we need to discuss.
Yeah, there's so much more to say about this refrigerator. I'd like Karen, please introduce our guest.
Okay, our guest today, we're so lucky because now we have a booker for this show. So we're going to have guests consistently, and we're going to have great guests, and we're going to have guests that we didn't have to guilt into doing the podcast with us. We didn't ask them 7 minutes before we started recording.
Yep.
Like, we're becoming a real podcast, and it feels amazing. And Scotty, our guest today is one of our first officially booked guests.
Yay!
Through a booker. Mr. of the Bananas podcast and many other, he wrote the horror movie Ma and many other things that you love. Mr. Scotty Landis is here with us today.
Hooray!
Oh my gosh. What an honor. I'm so excited. And also, please, in the future, if you need a guest 7 minutes before airtime, call me. I will jump on no matter where. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm
nice.
In. I'm
okay,
in.
Good. Perfect.
Caroline Ray was when she would just be like, we need somebody. And Caroline Ray was like, I can be there in 8 minutes.
Yes. I think she used to just hang out on the sidewalk outside studios.
Sure.
Yes. That's what I've heard about.
If you're good at paneling, there's algorithms that figure out how much people like you and you get booked, and you know, it is a gift. I think you would absolutely be one of those, a Jonathan Winters type of drop in on Carson persons.
Yeah, right? you get an alert when there's an empty Hollywood Square.
Yeah.
Fine with me.
Yeah.
Fine with me. Me and Jim J. Bullock just high-fiving.
Now, Scotty, would you ever, in the noble effort to support yes. mom-and-pop businesses, mm-hmm. would you order a refrigerator from across the nation?
In St. Louis.
I definitely would not. Is it a Smeg? I got to ask. Is it a Smeg?
It isn't a Smeg. I was looking at the Smeg, but it doesn't match the wine color I painted my kitchen. This is a wine colored refrigerator. It looks like a Cadillac. It's a Chambers
yes.
refrigerator. So I had nice. To really seek it out. I could have gone to any one of the furniture websites, but luckily a fan of our podcast on Twitter, I was griping about it because sometimes you can get results. And they mm-hmm. went in person. They went to this place,
Chris,
on my behalf.
I've told you so many times to stop using social media as a way to buy things for your apartment. Because
hey,
here's the thing. This is
results.
Los Angeles.
It gets results.
It gets results that don't work. This is Los Angeles where they have to source everything in the world for entertainment all
this
the time.
True.
This
yes.
is the city where you get a wine-colored old-fashioned refrigerator. Literally, have you ever been to Burbank? There's streets, big, wide, empty streets of
yes.
stores that do this exact
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, if I was able to hit the streets, I would have done that. I would have gone to some vintage appliance place, but I was just online. And, they don't have the websites. They just, I searched, I promise, Karen, I
okay.
searched the mom and pop stores in Los Angeles. Yes, I know I made a mistake. I should have seen.
First Los Angeles, then Missouri.
Then
this is
you
the order you're always going to take.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also feel like you gave them a story, which I always appreciate. Like that small mom and pop has probably never shipped anything to Los Angeles, let alone their biggest product. The biggest thing they sell. They're like, we're either on the Howie Mandel prank show or this guy really wants a burgundy colored.
What is the shipping cost on a fucking 2,000 pound refrigerator, Chris?
It was only $50 and they bring it in my home and hook it up and
wow.
take my old refrigerator. You think you'd get that
wow.
kind of that home type service from some LA?
No.
Yes, from
Hollywood
Home Depot. It comes
shot?
With it.
Yeah,
yes.
probably.
It's automatic.
I told them I have 50 stairs going up to my apartment. That's like, oh, we don't care. We're from St. Louis.
Yeah.
But then they want to stay at your apartment afterwards for a couple of days before
yeah.
they get their plane back.
Yes.
And they
yes.
also have not shipped it again. They will not ship it.
There you go. There you go. Went out of business 4 years ago, but
I think
they got your credit card. They got those numbers that they needed from you.
And one of the times I called,
man.
There was a chicken rooster in the background.
Stop it.
Because they're working from home. Yes, a loud rooster.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm like, is that perhaps a rooster? Yeah, that's a rooster. Do you keep it in the house? Let's talk about this refrigerator instead. Okay. Sorry. I just
they literally said that?
Yes. Yeah.
They
yeah.
changed the subject.
Yeah.
Partially.
They were embarrassed. The rooster was not going off at the right time of day. I think they're embarrassed that they have an afternoon rooster. Oh, anyway, hopefully the fridge comes.
I hope so.
Thank
also,
you, Scotty.
You picked the paint color and then you made the refrigerator match the one thing that could have been any color in the world.
I could have bought any color refrigerator and painted the refrigerator with the leftover paint that I have for my kitchen.
Yes. Yeah.
But
what's the theme? Chris, what's the theme of the kitchen? Is it like south of France?
It's
what
very
are you doing?
my
80s
coffee,
bistro?
Where, it's very bistro themed where I keep my blender and coffee maker. But the
okay.
rest of it is kind of farmhouse. I have several, speaking of roosters, I have four on
yeah.
the wall. One of them mm-hmm. on a sign that says eggs, as if roosters lay eggs, you
that's
guys.
Funny. Yeah, that's funny.
I know. It was an ironic sign.
I like
and,
it.
And mm-hmm. It's very farmy.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you'd like it. When I describe it, a lot of people are like, gross, like my grandma's house. It's like, just come in and look at it. And they apologize.
Okay.
In our shared neighborhood, Chris, in in Echo Park, not to dox us both, and we're in deep trouble, but there are tons of roosters. Have you walked up Echo Park Avenue? There are tons of chickens and roosters in Echo Park.
Up on that
street. A noticeable amount. Yes.
The more you go up the hill, it becomes Rooster City. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're everywhere up there.
Just yard roosters.
Yeah.
Pets.
Just yard birds.
Yard
birds. Doing what they can do. Just cock-a-doodle-doo. It's great. I like it. I take a jog. They chirp. I go louder. It's great.
Do you think they're pets? Do you think people, because you don't need a rooster to have eggs if the people are trying to be hippies, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think you want roosters.
They are just a 6 a.m. alarm clock. Alarm clock, yep. Yeah.
Think so.
And then they go right on through 9 p.m. They're very dedicated to their craft. And I think it's a very Latin American Hispanic community. There's also a great run on a street near my house where on nice days, on days that are like that classic LA 75, 80 degree day, they put their parrots and parakeets outside on the patio in cages. Oh. And so you'll walk down the street and see 15 or 20 parakeets or parrots. It's just a little taste of freedom, just to see.
Just to fuck with their minds and be like, all of this could be yours. But no, you're coming back into the apartment.
The sky's the limit. Cage is the real limit. The sky's
not for
the limit,
you.
Guys.
I think they get loose sometimes because I'll go to Echo Park Lake and you look at that little island. A lot of people think Gilligan's Island was shot there, but I don't think so. And there will be parrots in those trees. Do you ever see those Echo Park Island parrots?
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
I feel like Jimmy Buffett every time I see them.
You know, have you guys seen the documentary, the Wild Parrots of Telegraph Hill? About basically people getting wild birds and then just either letting them go, whatever happens. And so then there's like a flock of parrots and all kinds of wild birds that just had to band together and live in the city. They're city birds, like loose city birds. Mm.
Yeah,
it's the greatest.
It is great. No part of me has ever wanted to have any type of bird as a pet. What are your thoughts?
That's right.
I don't.
It's cruel.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong.
It's unusual.
Bird people are the strangest pet owners. I think that the other thing is like macaws and the big parrots live for a really long time. I don't know. Let's say 40 years. I don't know if I'm. But I think
longer.
Right.
I think like 80 years. No joke. Like those gray parrots,
yes. You got to you have to have a parrot in your will, and you have to hand the parrot down.
Your niece, your nephew,
who's gone to New York City to do some sort of banking or something, and then all of a sudden this parrot has to be tagged and flown out to him. I think that's how they do it.
Yep, they ship them.
That's
refrigerators.
Where these birds aren't just flying. They're on their way to a younger person in the family. That's why we
birds
see
are always
them.
Going somewhere. That's the cool thing about birds. They're always going somewhere.
They
and
got plans.
We stop them. Yeah.
Yes. I used to have cats when I lived in Silver Lake and in my younger days. And I was sitting at the kitchen table one day and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this kind of like my cat jumping in the air and I saw this kind of bright neon yellow thing. And I looked over and my cat had caught a canary like a little yellow, bright yellow bird. He hadn't actually, he was kind of playing with it. I don't know. It wasn't. So I went and got the bird away from him and took it outside and put it on the railing, like near the stairs. And I couldn't tell if it was like mortally wounded or whatever.
Right.
And so I just put it there and kind of stood away from it. And it took about 5 minutes and then it just real quick flew away. It like was stunned, I think. And it scared and freaked out and maybe thought I was going to do something. And he just was really still for a while and was like taking deep breaths and then boom was gone. And it was the best. It made me so happy because I was like, this bird is going to die. I have to put it in a shoebox and have a whole thing in the backyard.
My favorite thing that animals do is pretend is to play possum. I love it when possums do it and they look like a rat. They have missing patches of hair. They have a rat tail. But once they're pretending, you come around the corner, they're on a branch and then they're like, up, and they stick their tongue out and cross their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that too. And never in your life, never in any of our lives, have you ever regretted pretending to be asleep in your entire life?
No. I do it for no reason.
I've done it at parties when I was a teenager. I did it when I was hooking up with somebody that I realized it was a mistake, and I just decided to pretend to be asleep would be a better move.
Thank you
There's
for bringing that up.
There's never been a time in my entire life that I chose, as an adult, to pretend to be asleep, and I look back now, I'm like, right choice, should do it more often.
Yep, it's true.
I am racking my brain for one of the times I regret. No, you're right. It's always a good choice.
There was one where in the dorms in college, before it is a, this concept is good,
it's,
Scotty. You're
it's
right.
The greatest thing we should do.
It's very. We should all play possum every once in a while. But yes. I was in my bed in the dorms, and this guy came in, and he was like, "Karen, are you awake?" And then I was just like, I was just kind of laying there, and I was just like, I don't know. It wasn't. I was just kind of like, I just don't know what to do right now. Like, right. Am I supposed to be like, get up and be like, hey, what's up? And make out. I've already gone to bed. Like, what am I supposed to do? So I literally was just like, made light, not overdone breathing sounds. Just like, here, you can hear that I'm deeply asleep, but yeah. I was completely awake. And he sat there patting me like, Karen, he was super drunk. Always. And he did it for so long.
Always.
Where I was literally just like, dude, it's it's not happening. And then he finally left.
I'm really good at it too. I even go out on a limb and take risks and pretend I have like sleep apnea or a slight snore or even it's part of a dream. I'll play around with it because I know people will think I'm asleep.
Yep.
I've run away from parties, been found in a neighbor's yard by police, laid there, pretended to sleep, and they're like, well, just let him sleep it off. I would have been arrested. I've gotten,
is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, very true.
I believe it.
High school parties, everyone underage. I go run into a bush and sleep. There are, if you talk to my friends in Montana, they can point out some of the bushes I would pretend to sleep in. One was at Providence Hospital.
No adult, even when you're a kid, and you know that weird age between like toddler and then whatever, being a real kid.
Yeah.
And like your parents would carry you in from the station wagon, and like you knew you were getting too big for mom, but dad could still get you in, but you would pretend to be asleep and you were wide awake. And then you get there and you're like kicking your kids off and you're like, okay. But like that was the beginning of me going, this is a sure shot way to get the results I need by simply laying there with my eyes closed.
This is a real thing. This is a real thing.
My favorite place to do it, just one of those shiny red booths at a pizza parlor. I would always, that's where I would pretend to fall asleep.
Yeah, you were done.
Yeah.
Because you just wanted to leave the pizza parlor?
Yeah, or I think it was because I wanted to stay. And no one will make you leave if you're pretending to sleep. Oh, he's had too much pizza. Just look at him. Don't we love our son? They'd say nice things about me and I pretend not to hear them. But it made me feel
good. Another pitcher of Busch Light and another pitcher of Cherry Coke. We're going to make a night out of this.
Yeah.
Did the Pizza Huts in your town have a fireplace in the middle of them?
Yep.
Wow. I don't.
And our A&W did too.
I don't.
It was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yes, they did. And they had the island, the buffet island. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Weirdly, there was a thing in the 70s and the 80s where having just an open gas bonfire in the middle of your restaurant signified going out, I guess, or something different.
Yeah, it was kind of like along the lines of like fern bars were popular in the 70s. And then it was like the family thing of, I mean, that's my childhood. And that's like,
right.
There was lots of sleeping. You're right, Chris, now that you're saying it. There was lots of sleeping in red Naugahyde booths where it was just like, my parents never left because we were tired. They never left because we were bored. Like, I am absolutely from the era of kids where it was like, my sister and I literally... There's an Italian restaurant called Danucci's that's halfway between Petaluma and going out to Bodega Bay. And we would go there for dinner. It was so dark that you would get sleepy when you walked in because you were just like, this is weird. You're like 6 years old and you're like, huh, it's weird. It's like nighttime in here. And then the parents would just party and smoke and drink.
Yes.
And we would eat like a minestrone soup and be so bored that we would go play with the cigarette machine.
Oh my God. I was going to say that. That is exactly right.
Yes. And I always, we would pull those things and I always got a pack of smokes every fucking time. My sister's like, you had the magic touch. Anytime I pulled a thing on a cigarette machine, I got a pack of cigarettes.
Oh my gosh.
And that was like, there wasn't even a gumball machine. Like kids today, I know this is such an old lady thing to say, but they're so lucky. Like everywhere they go, there's candy. Everywhere they go, there's some consideration for kids, a game, a video game. We really had to conjure it or just go to sleep.
Yeah. And imagine that now, just resting your face down on the pleather surface of where that day hundreds of uncles put their butt down. And you just put your key, feels good. It's cool on my chin.
Yeah.
Just on a bunch
of. It's like a little, there's a divot and it's warm. Maybe there's a little cotton sticking out. Maybe it's split.
Yeah, because a rip, and you can only assume it was caused by some terrible uncle's fart. And you'd laugh about that as you rested your face on it.
Yeah.
And pretended to sleep. The best choice.
It was great. Well, they all had a little vestibule. Every restaurant had a little vestibule that was the smoking machine that had those like weird glass things you're talking about. You pull out, they'd have the payphone because everybody had to have a payphone at some point. Yep. They'd have like a few brochures or like their, but it was always like 10 degrees colder than the restaurant. It was the way in.
Yep.
But it was like your parents would be like, here's two quarters, play two songs on the jukebox. If you were lucky, they had some weird like Pac-Man. And then if not, you would be like, let's go get a free matchbook from the bar. Like it was just tasks.
Yep. Maybe they'll give us maraschino cherries if we're cute and nice.
Oh my god.
And yes. So I think Danucci's had and we had this in my old neighborhood because I used to live by the smokehouse, which is basically from 1975.
Yes.
We were driving home and they had put out in front of the smokehouse, it was two like gumball machine things, but they had Spanish peanuts in one side and then the other side was just empty. And I was like, we have to take this. This is literally from like 1973. They don't make these anymore. And the little thing it was 25 cents, but it was a sticker that was an acorn. And then it said the price. Like it was this very, it wasn't a brand. It was just kind of how all of those looked back then, red on the bottom. And we took it home. It sat in our garage forever because I was like, I just need it. The Spanish peanuts were still in there. You used to be able to get a handful of peanuts with red skin on them.
Yes.
And that would be like a treat if you wanted those. It was like so pre anything for kids.
And I don't know, did you have these pizza places where they just played the Three Stooges?
Yes.
All the time. That's the only reason I ever saw the Three Stooges.
No.
There would like be a tiny merry-go-round. I don't know if this was a Shakey's like chain, but I remember them constantly playing the Three Stooges.
The one in our town, I believe it was Shakey's because we would go there after softball or if there was like some kind of, if you won or lost or whatever, like your whole team would get to go to Shakey's and they had this separate little room. And that's where the Pac-Man explosion of like 1981 or whenever that started. I watched that all develop where it was like, it used to just be the place where if you had your birthday there, you would get like pizza and then a Hostess cupcake with a, you know, like a candle in it. And then they would show Three Stooges and I'd be like, and sometimes they'd show cartoons, but Three Stooges, I would be looking around like, who likes this? Nobody. This is just for boys. Like this is violent and mean and weird.
Yes. It's weird. And the reason for their fighting was there was never a good reason. It was an obvious accident that you bumped into me while we're making this cake. And you immediately go for my eyeballs.
And you're my brother? You're supposed to be my brother.
Or the guy before you that mysteriously disappeared and was replaced with a bald man. I don't know. Yeah. There's a weird Pluto and Grimace, or never mind, Brutus thing, where all of a sudden one of the Three Stooges was a different guy. And I can only assume it was a drinking problem.
It's true. Restaurants used to only be for adults. I don't know if y'all waited tables, but like I waited tables for years and I think I was in those magic years where the shift went to child worship, where before it was like restaurants are for adults to go out. You're lucky to get here. Here's the kids menu. You're eating bow tie pasta with butter and Parmesan cheese. Shut up. Then I was in Brooklyn from like 2004 to 2013, and I was waiting tables a lot of that time. And that's when kids became empowered, and being a server at places, they would be like, okay, now what do you want to order? And then you'd have to sit there and the kid would pick apart, like, you know, it used to be like cheeseburger and fries. And then they'd be like, can I have a burger? But can I have cheese on the side? And can you substitute the fry? And you and I would be like 11 tables deep in the weeds and being like, get this kid chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Who taught him the word substitute?
Yeah,
get this kid nuggets.
He's going to eat two bites anyway. Yeah. I always feel very bitter when I watch that kind of thing develop, where it was like my sister's friend Adrian had kids first before, you know, anybody. And so those are the kids that I watched them go through the world so differently.
Yes.
And her daughter, who I adore and is a wonderful adult now and grew up great, but she came over to my parents' house one time when she was like 4 or 5, and she walked up to my dad and goes, "Where's your outdoor play structure?" And he's like, "What the hell did you just say?" Like, she's just like, "I don't understand why I'm here and there's nothing built for me to play on." It was legendary.
Kids are littered with confidence, and
yes,
I should be impressed, but it's I'm jealous. I think I'm jealous as an adult of the confidence of children and their sense awareness. And
even though it's a bummer at, like, you know, adult restaurants, it's a good thing to teach children. Like, you don't just have to take what they give you there. You know, there should be more than one choice. You might have a preference. It's okay to want different things or whatever.
Yes.
Like, that to be raised in this kind of suck it up mentality is not good later on in life, I find.
No.
So there, that's another thing I'm jealous of, is there's the mental health aspect of later generations where I'm like, oh, this is what actual evolving is.
Yeah.
Because all these people are better. Every generation is better than the last because they get a little bit more like cared about and a little bit more like, oh, maybe if I'm the parent and I don't drink, I'll pay attention more. And then, you know, like the vibes will be better in our household or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There was like, that was a real progressive. It took people a while to realize that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think.
I mean, my dad made me shake hands with every man. Like, my dad was like, shake his hand, look him in the eyes, shake his hand firmly. And it's paid off in life. And I've had people in Hollywood, like in meetings, be like, give a good handshake. And I'm like, well, when I was 6 years old, my dad would be like, you shake that guy's hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, to the food thing, you know what your kid's like. You make them the same four meals your entire childhood. So I like when parents go, he's going to have the cheese pizza, he's going to have the chicken fingers and fries, we're going to have we're going to have 2 Shirley Temples if we're having a night. And
yeah.
Because think about me, the adult who needs $4 tips.
Yeah,
be
true.
Cool with me first.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's prioritize this, that the kids aren't, because that every time it's a big decision and then truly they never eat any of it.
Exactly.
So it's like there's a little performative parenting where it's like, now you're going to watch my child make decisions. And also, we've never said the word no to him, you know, where it's definitely it has gone wrong in some ways.
Yeah, I see a lot of kids because I still go to the skate park where I'm not lately, but in general, in the past few years, and that I can tell a lot of kids don't hear the word no.
Yes.
Yeah. They must
definitely
be reasoned with like adults. We are in an era of children's suffrage, and it's just happening.
They can have it. They can have it. Yeah, you know what? I'm done. They can have it. Give them all bird. I don't care. Give them cigarettes. I don't care. Give them whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm not mad at kids. I'm mad at old people.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Not at everybody.
Not at everyone. Just in general.
Yeah.
Scotty, you at your podcast, you guys deal with weird news stories, not necessarily mainstream, like what's been happening the last few days. But it doesn't fall right into that weird category also. How are you going to deal with that?
We avoid that completely across the board. We try to be an oasis. We don't talk about politics overall, unless they're crazy politics. We don't really talk about anything violent, anything, no assault, no anything like that. We really try. Bananas is supposed to be an escape. Kurt Brownoler and I did it as It's really more about taking stories that are real news stories from around the world. And we get sent literally hundreds a day at this point, which is cool because we were like, I wonder how long we can keep this going. It turns out that everything is insane at all times around the world. And it's really more about giving us launch pads for our own stories that we relate to. So a lot of the times I'll pick stories that I know Kurt has a really funny story about his childhood or whatever for. But yes, we avoid the chaos that bums everybody out. A friend of ours worked for The Daily Show for like 9 years. And when I was like, oh, you're leaving? He's like, I cannot wait to never watch news ever again.
Right.
Yeah.
He was so jaded by it. And that really struck home with me because I don't really enjoy the news. I've had a hard time listening to even like NPR lately because you're like, I get it. So we don't talk about COVID. We don't talk about politics. We just try to tell funny stories. Karen was on it. And it's totally the vibe. It's like we try to make each other laugh with the headlines and then we tell stories from our own lives about how silly and absurd the world should be and how we should celebrate that.
They're such good conversation starters. So many of those stories are just kind of like, oh, that reminds, you know, that time I was near a turtle or whatever, where it really is stuff that it becomes, because the story is so weird. It's a story you would never even think to talk about.
Right.
But, you know, it's the topics. I was actually this morning, because so sorry,
we got
everybody.
Dogs, baby.
We got dogs, baby. It ain't Zoom without some barks.
Woo! Yeah.
Day at the dog park.
I was going to send you one because I keep waking up at 5:30. And then, of course, I have to check Twitter just to see if, you know, they've crested the wall or whatever.
Yes.
And the story from today that I read where the woman that posted it was like, I intentionally fact checked this 3 times before I took this to social media because it seems so insane.
Yes.
Is the guy that was in the coup, got inside the Senate in the building, had the taser in his pocket that was set to on. He reached up to steal a picture of Tip O'Neill. He tased himself in the balls and died of a heart attack.
And he died. Yes.
And
one of the 4 deaths was.
That's one of the. Yeah. One of the 5, I believe now. But and I read it. I kind of like went, oh, my God. Like everything else where you're like, I want to laugh. I want to cry. I don't know how to feel anymore. I took the picture of it. And then I was like, no, this isn't what bananas does. And also, this isn't all we can do is like snicker to ourselves of like the irony. But ultimately, this is the saddest fucking story there is.
Yeah,
sure.
But the balls part makes it funny. So we can talk about it.
I know. Yeah. And it's like, what was he going to do with that taser? Who are you going to fucking tase?
It's
and
sad.
Then you basically got, you know, bit.
If the taser was in his breast pocket and it tased him near the heart, that's a story we shouldn't tell. But the balls, the contact point, I think it's okay that we make light.
Everyone, we all wanted to rise above that story. And then it was like, I'm sorry.
I can't.
I cannot.
Also,
bananas would.
Yeah, we wouldn't cover it. But also, light that guy up. That's awesome. Like, because then he's going to have a funeral where people are going to have to be like, what did he like? He liked art. He liked keeping electronics in his pockets.
He
had very, very susceptible nards.
Tip O'Neill.
He's a moron. Yeah, who cares? He loved Tip O'Neill, apparently.
He loved Tip O'Neill.
That guy, I know. There was another one. The other one that came out today that people did send us, and I'm like, we don't really do this, was one of the people that was killed during the stupid coup attempt was a woman carrying a Don't Tread on Me flag that got trampled to death.
And
insane.
So you go, the irony's deep, but also, don't show up.
Yeah.
You volunteered to be there.
Yeah, you just have to wait a couple of weeks. Before
that's
you
right.
tweet a picture of her and everything.
That's right.
Because the irony, I mean, that.
Well, and most people, I feel like there has been such that kind of facts don't care about your feelings and liberal tears and all that. These harsh stances that have been taken for 4 years, that when this stuff comes up, it really is like, no, we have to go higher and we have to take the higher ground or whatever.
No.
But then you're just like, but we didn't do it. We didn't fucking
dunk on them. Yeah,
we didn't set it up.
Dunk on them.
How about you keep the safety on in any weapon? Any weapon, keep it on until you get right up to the fucking the governmental servant that you're trying to kill. What was that fucking
thing?
Yeah,
they were right on the other side of the glass. Scared congressional people.
Jesus.
I don't care. You know how you don't trip and get trampled on? Don't hold a flag with both hands. Just, you know, run around with your arms out well balanced like the flying Walendas and you're good to go.
Or how about you don't get out of the scrum? If you've never been like in a mosh pit, maybe don't try to run in first like
I'm cool and popular. Not today.
No.
And here's the weird thing. A lot of those people there, I think, had been in mosh pits. They had a mosh pit look to them.
Yes.
There was a moshy vibe. Concert.
They should know to scramble.
They had a moshy vibe.
Yeah.
I know.
Was, because I haven't seen Ma, but I just watched the trailer. Because I do a lot of research before a guest comes on.
Then you've seen it. It's back on HBO Max, which I'm so pumped on. Like, it went away from HBO and it's back, and I'm like, all of a sudden I got some messages.
Also, there's a lot of mom memes. I see mom memes all the time.
Yeah, me too. I knew
they're hilarious
because of the memes. But that seems to me like a story from your life or something. Like, because that's so specific. Someone that would buy beer for you, that would provide a place to party, end up being a weirdo. How much of that was true?
It's two people. It is. That is, I think, why Blumhouse made it, is because all of us that grew up in not a major city, and I don't know if they do in cities, but so many of us had to go and play Hey Mister to some extent.
Yeah.
And in most towns, it was like a dude, but I thought it would be more interesting if it was a woman that was kind of on the fringes, the kind of person you wouldn't see in a grocery store.
Sure.
Somebody like when you look at your high school yearbook, you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was the perfect murderer because they slipped through the cracks and you trust them in a weird way.
Yeah.
And then there were two people in my hometown. I'm from Reisterstown, Maryland, which is a smaller town near the Styx. There was one party I went to where this dude, my friends were like, hey, this guy bought us beer. And I was like, who? He's like, I don't know, this guy, Jimmy. And we drove out to the middle of nowhere and it was the house. It was supposed to be the house that kind of Ma's based on. It was just like a rental piece of shit house.
Yeah.
And we walked around back, my best friend and I, and the girl I was dating, who was only 15 at the time, I was 16.
That was going to be my follow-up question.
I was a youthful 16. I was a short 16. Bald head to toe. And I walked in and I had alopecia. I've overcome it. It's one of the great joys of my adult life. So we step into this cinder block dirt floor basement. Eminem's first album came out and it's blasting. Half my soccer team is rapping Eminem lyrics at me. It's full of weed smoke and cigarette smoke. And I see my 15-year-old girlfriend smoking a cigarette with this, like, he was probably 25, but he felt like he was 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. He felt older. Yeah. And he's wearing like FUBU head to toe. Like it's a white guy, like a mess.
Yeah.
Just you're like, here it is. Riff Raff is smoking cigarettes with my girlfriend. And she sees me and gets really nervous because she didn't know I was coming or whatever. There was a miscommunication there. And my fear at that exact moment was that guy was going to figure out that I was dating her and he was going to beat me up in front of everybody. A grown man.
Yeah.
And so I left with my friend. I didn't like run out the door, but I was like, said hey to everybody, said like I was mad at her, like that those teenage fights where it's like, what are you doing? Why are you here? I thought you were doing puzzles with Danielle. But so I left. But that fear of getting beat up stuck with me because I was an adult and nobody would have known what to do. And what if he pulled out a gun?
Yeah, you're in
and
a basement.
The other one
also
was a rich, yeah, you're in a strange basement.
Everyone's hot.
You're 16. You're just trying to be popular. You don't want to make any mistakes. So people are like, loser. And then around the same time, another friend of mine had a really wealthy aunt. And every time her husband would go on these business trips or whatever, he was into sales or whatever, she would let us party in her basement, finished basement. Pool tables, heavy punching bag, air hockey, the
ooh,
works.
God, like, I remember those
like
kids.
Like a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like all the finished, like a downstairs bathroom.
Yeah.
All these things where...
And were they
she
Mormon?
Would stand on this... They were Jewish, actually.
It's religious families have those basements. Successful religious families.
Yeah, huge. And like really way more wealthy than I was growing up. And she would stand on the stairs and it would be like, I don't know, 10 girls, 10 guys, all of us 16-ish. And she would just hold court and just watch. And she would flirt with the girls. She'd be like, love your butt. Oh, girl. Like, I remember when I had that figure. And then she would say to the guys, she'd be like, Johnny, you better call me when you turn 18. And so I kind of combined the fear of Jimmy murdering me with this mom flirting with everybody and created Sue Ann, the Ma character.
Yeah.
And then I took it to what if she hated everybody and wanted to kill them. But yeah.
That's
it
great.
Was misery for popularity was my pitch. And when I said that to Blumhouse, they were like, we'll buy it. So I just feel
it's
like
all about that log line, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
But it was like the goal of horror movies is to, if you can leave, it's not scary, right? Like if you can drive away from the monster, it's not scary. If right. you can outrun it, it's not scary. So I was just thinking about things that would pin normal people in place. And I was like, to be unpopular will trap any teenager to not leave a situation they know they should leave. And I think to the My Favorite Murder, fuck politeness. That's exactly it. Like when you're an adult, you can say that. But when you're 15 and you just want the cute boy to like you, you will go through hell.
Yes,
you'll
that's
hurt
right.
people.
Yes.
And so
you'll do what it takes because you got yeah. hurt. People will hurt you. Like it's every yeah. man for himself. It's
that
so true.
That was the premise. That was the yeah. theme of Ma was if you test popularity, she'll win. So
back to yeah. this poor 15-year-old girl. When you left with all your friends, was she just there with the FUBU guy?
She's they've never found her.
Oh man, I knew if I did some investigation. Oh, yes. That's so scary.
No, it was funny because she's a, you know, she's a nice woman now. She's
yeah, of
a
course.
Mom and she's a great person. But it was like she was trying to fit in with an older guy,
yeah.
too. It was the whole mix. Adults and children should not hang out. It's like there is a point where when people are like, I call my mom every day. I'm like, this is a huge problem.
Yes.
This is not OK.
Yeah. That used to be a joke in my act is I said, Mom, you're my best friend. And she goes, well, you're not my best friend. And that really happened. And the only reason I said it to my mom, I saw my friend and her mom and they were doing something where like they were sharing a shirt or there was some yeah. weird thing where other people do it. And I'm like, oh, this is like another way to be popular. Be real
right.
like besties and your mom being cool and your age. And my mom's just like, I have plenty of my own friends. Like it was so alarming. But I'm like, she in that way, she was just like, yeah, have your vision go a little further than this weird local version of what you think cool yeah. is. Like, yeah. no one should be best friends with their mom.
No. Yeah. No. And I was always made nervous by those house parties where the parent is there and they're the ones that
yes.
bought the keg. Even when I was a kid, I promise you, I thought that was so bizarre and not
agree.
Healthy. Well, they're going to
yeah.
hang out. Your mom. Yeah, she's cool. I don't know if she's cool.
No. Well, and also it's so uncomfortable because it's like, well, so now I'm just trying to get drunk on wine coolers and like have like my teenage
yes.
golden years. And all I can think of is what's going on in this family. How do you guys eat dinner
yes.
in some weird way? Do you like what other lines are you guys crossing? Because this is the kind of thing where we should all be hiding in the garage, but
yes.
your mom wants to hang out with us. That's not
yes.
good.
It's more fun to be discreet. It's more fun to be clandestine.
To
like
yes.
sneaking a beer when the weed became legal in LA. I don't really even smoke weed. I'm not like a weed guy. But like it was so fun to be like, we have to meet somebody in a Kmart parking lot. He drives a Challenger. But listen, he doesn't take 20s. He only takes singles. So we have to give him 34 singles. And like that was the adventure of bad behavior was so fun.
Yeah.
And those parents that are creeps that want to hang out or they're like, they're going to do it somewhere. Might as well do it while I'm wearing a tight shirt. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
Tight shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, no. It ruins
the worst.
It.
You guys yeah. want to arm wrestle? No. You're
no,
40. Get
no.
out of here.
No, we're trying to talk about homeroom, you fucking weirdo.
I don't understand my body. Why are you trying to arm wrestle me on a dirt bike seat?
I'm still growing. I just got over alopecia.
I'm like Elton John. I'm just going to get more hair as I go. I don't know how it's happening.
Yeah, that is. You're right, though. That being in a basement is. I didn't realize that was a unknown horror movie thing, is that there has to be no way out.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
It's the main thing.
I had two friends in college, girlfriends that were just friends, and we went to some house and they wanted to get weed from this guy, and he was older, but he was was just out of college.
And Jimmy, yeah.
We went to his basement. There was a log in the basement with a hatchet in it.
Great.
Just in a cement basement, and then off in the distance.
And a hockey mask right next to it.
And he had a big beard. We all knew who he was, though, and these two were friends with him, and they smoked out of a big bong and immediately fell asleep. And then I'm with this guy, and then that's when he decided to tell me that he hates me. He's hated me for a long time because I was breakdancing while he was playing pool, and I messed up and I owed him $20 because there's money on this game. And he would start, and I was high and paranoid already. I got really scared, and I went upstairs, and again, I pretended to be asleep on the couch.
Best decision you've ever made.
Yeah, but his roommate came home and he knew me from the bars, but he's like, oh, that funny guy, I like him. And then the guy, the bearded guy in the basement is like, I hate him, and I'm going to show you how much I hate him. And he ran across the living room and did like a superfly snooka elbow into my back.
Right.
Because I face... And I turned and he was on me. So I picked him up like a baby and I tossed him onto this lamp. Anyway, we made this ruckus and the police came and knocked on the door. Yeah. Because we were making noise. And I said, there are two of my friends are asleep in the basement. He has weed. And I left. I did not have to stick around. I think that guy probably got in a lot of trouble because this is when weed was very... I totally screwed that guy and he deserved it. So yes, I forgot. It is a story about how you should pretend to fall asleep on the couch.
Always.
Yeah.
Also, you could have written Ma. You had the same experience. She would have been a hatchet murderer. But it's that fear of like... The fear of adults when you're a teenager, it should be in there. The kids that aren't, the teenagers that aren't afraid of adults, those are the ones that scared the shit out of you in high school. Like, there's this kid named Joey Latch. Rest in peace, Joey Latch, I think. But he would be like, you want me to go beat that guy up? And all the skaters would be like, yeah. And they would just run over and beat some pedestrian up. And I remember being more afraid of him than I've ever been of anything in my entire life.
But he was on your side.
No rules. There's no rules. Oh, yeah. He thought it was the funniest. He was like, Scotty, whatever you want. Like, just point at somebody. I'll punch him in the face. And I'd be like, haha, cool. I'll definitely do that. And then just wet my pants and drove home in my Toyota Corolla.
I was like you. All of my friends were tough. And there was always a guy that wanted to fight. All of my friends had been in fights. But fights scared the hell out of me. And I was so scared that I was going to get beat up all the time. And it dictated what I would do just to avoid getting in a fight.
Karen loves
it. I love a good fight.
I mean, I like...
I don't want to do it. I want to watch other people do it. I want to watch some loudmouth get clocked by someone who's quiet and noble and like, you know what? I've had enough of you. That's my favorite situation.
Yeah, I wish it was always that way. Usually it's just... for no reason, and it's a nice person getting beat up.
Usually it's drunk people.
Yeah.
It's just kind of some weird, like, and you can't reason with them, and everyone's kind of bleary-eyed and not really punching very accurately. That's the average fight I've watched.
In the South, they might have had them where they had tough man competitions. Do you guys know what those are?
Is that when the Christian power team comes to your high school and rips a phone book in half?
Yes,
it's different. It's different.
Yeah, that's rough, man. It ain't fun. Tough man is three rounds of boxing. I think it's 3 2-minute rounds. They would set them up in the back of bars and stuff. And then they kind of did it with loose weight classes, but basically it was amateur boxing in the back of bars. And they had these big yellow gloves. And I mean, they were everywhere. This was pre-fight club. This was just like people are going to fight. And I saw one in Pensacola at this place called Big Daddy's Lounge. And they were like, they'd be like, okay, 150 pounds. And then these two rednecks would go beat the hell out of each other but it's only for 6 minutes. And so this one guy gets up there and he's like, I was Golden Gloves 1992 and I'm going to whoop this boy's ass. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be gnarly. And then he gets the shit kicked out of him. But then he got punched in the shoulder and it dislocated his shoulder, which I didn't know could happen. Mm-hmm. So this guy who threatened this other guy has a dislocated shoulder. His brother's like waving a white napkin, like a white towel to say the fight's over. So then the guy stands next to me and I'm like, he's probably 45. Everybody else is in their early 20s. And his brother's like, oh, we're going to pop your shoulder back in. And he's like, yeah. And then the next act up was like local wrestling. And so they're smashing plastic chairs across each other's backs. And one of the legs flies off and hits the dislocated shoulder guy in the forehead. And so he starts bleeding down his forehead from a broken chair with his arm hanging loose. And I was, yeah, this guy was like, you should never enter a tough man competition again.
You're not tough.
And then you just drink and then it's over. And then there's...
Yeah, I love that he yelled. I was gold because Golden Gloves is like kids. That's like he was claiming to be. That's like if you are around a bunch of military guys and yell that you are a Cub Scout. It's like, am I wrong? Isn't Golden Gloves for young people?
It's a little, no, it's more like it is for younger people, but it is sort of like if somebody's a Golden Gloves boxer, that means they actually did like practice boxing. That
right. Like they know how to box.
Yeah. But he was just a drunk and he said that to intimidate the guy and then gets punched in the shoulder and then hit in the face with a flying chair leg. And I was like, why is this? I was like, that's the entertainment. This guy.
Yes.
Super Dave Osborne.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still alive. I'm sure he's healthy.
He's
I'm
just sure he's doing accident great. Prone. He just has bad luck.
Those are the people actually I think of when I was getting in the beginning of COVID quarantine, when I was getting mad at people that were still going places and pretending.
Yes.
But then I thought of those people who truly live in bars. Like they don't, you know, whatever they do during the day, their life begins when the sun goes down and they're sitting in a bar and then whatever happens, happens. And that is, and I used to be kind of that world a little bit and really loved it. But there are people who... Yeah. That is the world. And then suddenly it's just like, no, sorry, it's all closed. You have to stay home. Like it enabled me to access a little bit of the compassion where I'm like, oh, that's right. Like if you're like 38 and you really love drinking and you really love like dive bar culture and like literally just like you could be standing there in your corduroy blazer and just suddenly someone punches you in the face and you don't know why, you know what I mean? And then you find out later. It's like, you know, stuff that happens at the smog cutter, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or just like all that, it just was suspended and no one, you could be so into it and living for it. And then you just didn't get to do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, oddly, that also applies to stand-up comedy. I realized that's when my day would begin, was when I'd go do stand-up in some bar. I would love to see a picture of me. To see how much healthier I looked if I never did stand up, if I just had focused on illustration and drawing and never became a bar performer, because that's really what comedians are.
Yeah.
But you were drawn to it. There's something about that that I miss the energy. I don't miss drinking at bars. I miss the energy of bars. I miss like that feeling of like it fills up and people come in and you go to another one and it's like, oh, there is something. And those great shows, especially when you're stand up. I never did stand up, but all my friends were stand ups and they'd be like, will you come out to so and so? And it'd be snowing and I'd go to some dumb bar and there'd be four of us and two of the people hate the comics. One of the people's the host and then it's me.
You're the audience.
I was the audience. And then all four comics I would get to meet because they were like, hey, that's my friend Scotty. And they're like, and I'd be like, you were really funny. And you could tell it meant something to the comics in those empty bars where it was like,
hell yeah.
And they would be like, are you a comic? And you'd be like, no. And then it meant something even
more.
Yeah.
Like you're not kissing up. You're not trying to get in or somehow meet someone. Those are the shows, too. I mean, I haven't done in a sincere way. I haven't done stand up for so long. But when I really did do it all the time, when I would show up at one of those shows and there's, you know, there's nine people booked on the show and there's six people in the audience, everyone else would be so bummed and like, hey, try to go out in the street. And whatever, but I would be sitting in the back like, I'm gonna be so fucking funny tonight because this is I saved it for when almost no one was watching. And it's something in me that is so there's I'm such a contentious, like rebellious, whatever, where on big shows and shows where the audience is huge, I will walk out and say the shittiest thing to the audience, make them hate me, and then to have a mediocre set for, you know, 11 minutes. But in those shows where it just kind of like not much is going on and there's no one there, I'm just like, well, get ready to channel genius. Just be like, no one's going to know. Doesn't matter. No one's going to know.
It's
my favorite.
I like doing that as well. I like small audiences, no pressure, and so you just decide to be a genius that night.
And do like almost like that's when I would really do. Normally, I can't do crowd work because I would get nervous, and nervous energy in me turns into anger, which of course is not pleasant. So if I try to do crowd work, it's just me being like, "Oh, really? Oh, good job," or whatever. So unpleasant. Which especially in like the post 90s comedy, no one wanted that shit at all. But when no one was there, I would actually genuinely just be like, I could do crowd work. I could do all those things that normally I would just have too much tension to do. I would say to myself as it was happening, I was just like, do this normal, remember this feeling or whatever. But it's like, no, it's always situational. And especially on those nights where like everybody's, you start like the comic that goes before you affects your set and vice versa and all the way down. Like those are the shows. Those are the best when everyone's kind of like, everybody's pointing to everybody else going, they talked about this. Now it reminded me of this joke type of stuff.
Yes.
I miss that.
Yeah. It's like, being at a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also,
you get to dominate the conversation.
Safety if they don't know you. Like there's a, in a big crowd, you feel like people check the lineup. You feel like when at a Sold Out Largo show, you're like, who's on? They're like, Sarah Silverman. And you're like, oh shit. Yeah. And people are like, but those bar shows where some of the people just were at that bar that night and they're like, well, let's stick around, see if it's funny. It's so fun because you feel like you're in Antarctica or something. You feel like you're aliens together. I did do stand-up in college, and I did a show in Northampton, Massachusetts, and it was a snowy night, and it was literally just sign up, and you can do 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever. And the first guy goes up was the host, and he wasn't funny at all. And you felt like, well, I'm glad you just tried to get a show going here. A snowy night, maybe 10 people in the bar. Then somebody else goes up. He was okay, but just used other people's jokes. I did my stuff, did fine. And then the headliner was a guy that had done it once before. And his entire act, he goes, I'm going to do Arnold Schwarzenegger playing tennis with Sylvester Stallone. And then he goes, for 3 minutes, we were crying. The entire bar was just glad it was over. He had a concept. The premise was there.
Yes.
And then he was kind of good at doing Schwarzenegger and Stallone playing tennis. And he just did forearm. And I was like, you know what? I'm a writer. Like, this guy's doing something else.
I want to see that. I mean, at the time. Are you familiar or do you know about your biography on IMDb, or did you write it, or do you know what I'm talking about? Because it's absolutely hilarious.
I wrote a really, I might have written it, but it's been a very long time. But somebody else might have gone. I don't know really how that stuff works.
Do you mind?
I would say, please read it.
Either of you? Okay. Scotty Landis is from, I need glasses. It doesn't say that.
Reisterstown?
Reisterstown, Maryland. He attended the University of Massachusetts and currently resides in Los Angeles. In recent years, Scotty and Kurt Bronneler have jet skied from Lake Michigan to New Orleans, driven a giant double-sided butt from Los Angeles to New York City to moon the entire country, and gave a chicken a hot air balloon ride over wine country. That's your professional. I wrote Ma and Workaholics. That is that is your bio. That's your professional. And I love it. I love it very much.
I did write that. Yes, that is mine. And that is all true. Not any word of that is in that. I'm very fact based when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. I hate exaggerations and I hate people that like inflate what they've done. So I wrote three things that Kurt and I literally have done.
Yeah.
And we did do all that.
I did not doubt a word of it. That's the way it's very factually written. And I appreciate appreciate your work is what I want to say.
Can I ask, because it being from near wine country, did that chicken appreciate that hot air balloon ride?
No, it did not. So we were in Temecula. Our original plan was to give a flightless bird the gift of flight and restore dignity to a bird. So we went to Comedy Central and we said we would like to fly a penguin in a blimp to Alaska. Now, there's some logistical issues. One is blimps at maximum speed travel about 16 miles an hour. So it would have taken us about a year and a half to get there.
Right.
And we've had land many times. They were like, no. And then we were like, well, can we take an alligator on a zero-G jet and speed up evolution by making a dinosaur fly in outer space? And they said, no. Because it costs $250,000 to go on the zero-G plane. It's a 747 that goes up and then goes down. And our idea was that we were going to release an alligator and Kurt into zero gravity at the same time and just see if we could speed up evolution. And they said no. And then we said, well, what if we take a chicken on a hot air balloon? And they said, yeah, we can do that. So we got one called Snowball. We went to a chicken farm in Temecula. And we knew the hot air balloon, I guess down there in the vineyards, a lot of them have hot air balloons. And we stood there and graded chickens and for personality, for bravery, you know, we wanted a courageous one. And we picked one called Snowball. And Snowball, the reason we picked it is because every time we would say Snowball, it would walk towards us. So that was the credentials.
That's a smart chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we brought Snowball and a friend in a cage the next day, and Kurt and had a top gun and a friend so he wouldn't get scared. She wouldn't get scared. And as they're inflating the balloon, we had to shoot a little bit of the setup where Kurt goes, I'm Kurt Brunner, and I'm going to restore the gift of flight to a flightless bird. This is Snowball. And he's wearing a Top Gun 1 jumpsuit.
Of course.
And Snowball instantly shits on him like so much like Team America World Police level of fluid, and
which I guess is kind of brave for a chicken.
Yeah, on camera, sure.
Yeah, that's brave. Yeah. That's a brave bird. Mm-hmm.
And then when we got up there, hot air balloons. Have you guys ever been in a hot air balloon?
I've never desired.
It's my dream. I want to.
Karen, I'll do it. We can do it. Let's do it. Okay. I would love to.
That'll be our celebration when quarantine's officially over.
Yeah.
Yes. They rise really, really fast. And besides when they're revving the giant, flamethrower above your head that sounds like an earthquake, once that's off, it's silent. And so they go, you guys ready? And Kurt's holding this chicken. And then it goes from probably 100 feet to 200 feet in maybe like 5 seconds. And then he goes, how high do you guys want to go? We're like, well, what's normal? He's like 2,000 feet. And we're like, okay. He goes, well, why don't we start at 1,000, see how the chicken does. And then I have all these beautiful photos of just Kurt and this chicken just staring out at the sunrise. Because you do it in the morning when it's not windy. And then he goes, you guys want me to touch that that grapevine? And we're like, what? He goes, I can lower the basket and just brush the top of that grapevine on top of a hill. So he stops gassing it and the wind takes us and we just brush the top of a grapevine. And then he goes, what's your name again? I go, Scotty. He goes, and we had two camera guys because we were shooting on actual video. And he goes, do you feel comfortable jumping out of this? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, you can't really land a hot air balloon. You just have to crash a hot air balloon. He's like, our team's going to be there, but we need somebody, if we go into the field, to jump out and then grab one of the ropes. And Kurt was like, do you feel comfortable? I was like, of course. I was like, versus what?
That's how they always do it. Someone has to jump out and grab a rope.
Also, yeah, they ask you while you're in the air. They don't ask you beforehand.
I guess. Yeah. You see those big wicker baskets. They never have wheels on them.
No,
someone's got to jump out.
So they have a team that pulls up to the closest road. They kind of know the cornfield they're going to, or the soybean field they're going to crash into. But then they don't know exactly where it is because there's no steering. And so I was like, okay. And then he's like, wait for it. And so we're getting close and you're coming down, like you're sailing. And he goes, now. So I jumped and rolled and then grabbed the closest rope. And then his team comes running. I mean, it doesn't drag you. It's once you get it, you get it. But it was like, oh yeah, this is, if you think of the luxury of it, if you think of like, we're going to go on a romantic sunrise. And then somebody at the end of that thing, unless they bring their first mate with them, is diving out of that in a soybean field and then getting rope burn on their hands and then going to Denny's. Like it was great. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And then they take you to the vineyard at 9 a.m. and you just start drinking wine. And we're not wine drinkers, so we're just drinking white wine like it's going out of style. Best day of my life. That's what I'm saying.
It was my dream to do it until I heard that part where I'm just like, yeah.
I'll jump.
I just don't like being not at all in control. And it seems like you even said you can't even steer the thing. You're just being taken out of your control by a balloon with that fire above your head. I don't like that part either.
No, that's not good.
Because of the Hindenburg.
I think they know the general direction. Also, wine country was funny because it's, you know, houses are very far apart or the vineyards are very far apart. But because you're in Southern California, I remember vividly flying over a house that had a half pipe and a bunch of bowls and a Monster energy drink symbol painted in the middle of their swimming pool. And I'm like, you can never get away. But I think it was like
Tony Hawk's house?
It was like some X Games.
If it's
guy.
Temecula, yeah, it was any one of the metal Brian militia. Deegan. Yeah, Brian yeah. Deegan. Yeah, yeah. That guy. Totally. That guy has punched me in the stomach twice without me expecting. That's how Houdini died, I said to them. Those guys are lunatics.
Makes sense.
I used to be around that whole Monster energy drink world, and I don't miss it often.
Nope.
God, that is so. Was Snowball's friend happy to see? Was the chick? I want to just imagine the chicken waiting for his friend and then being happy to see that he's landed safely.
Totally happy. No chicken got injured at all. Yeah. Snowflake did not crap on Kurt again during the flight. I have some beautiful photos of them really just bonding as two creatures on the same planet at the same time. Snowball was restored. We took him back to the chicken farm. In Snowball's mind, nothing happened.
Yeah. Snowball maybe didn't know you were flying.
No, not a clue. Snowball was just blended right back in and did what chickens do.
Because that's why chickens don't fly, because they don't appreciate what they have when they're up there. Yeah. And God was like, forget it. You're ungrateful and you're not smart. So you don't get to.
The gift of flight was taken away by the Lord. Because they
by
don't
the Lord Jesus
it.
Christ. This is my quick Christian corner.
Yes. We hope you don't mind, right?
Scotty, I forgot to tell you.
No, I love that. The chicken did mind. The chicken was a 7-foot man that can't slam dunk. And it was just like, I probably could if I tried, but you know what? I'm just going to stay right where I am.
Forget it.
I would love to see those photos. If we could get them, that would be great.
I'll send some, sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been a wonderful chunk of
podcasting.
Where's
the time gone?
I know. This went by very quickly.
That's a sign of a good episode. Did you know that? When you don't realize did you know that, Karen?
Yes.
When it flies by, due to fun,
like a hot air balloon out of control.
Why would you want to kiss the tops of a vineyard with the basket? That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. We didn't know what we were getting into. We just said yeah. Yeah, at that point, you just say yes. Yeah, so you could have said, like, should we go into the sun? I'd be like, erase you there, bud.
Yeah, let's do this. really quick. Have you guys gone on Soaring Over California at California Adventure at Disneyland? Because there's a ride where you actually do that. It's the best ride. It's the best ride of any ride ever. And you're basically kind of in this, you know, like a long thing. It's almost like a baskety chair thing, and they basically on an IMAX screen, they fly you up and into this huge screen that actually curves around you, so that when you go into it, it starts and I think you're flying over the Golden Gate Bridge, and it really feels like you personally are flying over it, and then it takes you in all these places, and when you fly over vineyards you can smell grapes.
Oh wow.
Like they do kind of sense. It's my favorite ride, and I think now it's flying over the world, so you're going over other places, but the California one is really gorgeous. It's really good.
I love that sensory stuff they do, like on the Honey I Shrunk the Kids experience when the dog would sneeze and water would spray from the seat in front of you into your face. Yes. It's like, oh, it's real dog saliva. What an experience.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, do you have anything else to plug besides bananas?
We're doing a live bananas on February 6th called the Bananas Bonanza. You can go to bananaslive.com, and it's going to be Kurt and I doing basically a full version of the show as if we could tour it, but just us in his garage doing the best we can do during the great quarantine. That should be really fun. And other than that, no, thank you so much for having me. This was the most I felt like I was hanging out with friends in a bar since this started. So thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. This was a fun chat.
It's funny. Yay. I put on socks that matched my shoes for this.
Thank you.
Because, I anticipated it feeling like going somewhere. I kind of got dressed up.
Adidas socks, Adidas shoes, or same color like your the paint in your kitchen and your refrigerator.
Yes, they're purple Vans, and the socks have a little purple in them. That's all.
Don't be afraid to lift your leg up and show it right on the Zoom.
Well, it's hard to get it into the camera.
You can do it.
Okay.
Come on.
Anybody can skate.
Look at that.
Oh, they're half cabs. They're half cabs.
They are half cabs.
Even better.
They're so comfortable. I just pulled my groin. I knew it would happen. I'm in terrible shape. It's hard to get that steak up in the air.
Stick it in your new fridge. You'll be fine.
It's on the way. Just 4 more weeks. Meanwhile, I can't have any perishables. I don't have a refrigerator. That's
well, you had to support moms and pops, didn't you?
Oh, God. The moms and the papas. They weren't even that good. Well, thank you from me as well, Scotty. Karen said thank you, and so I want to say thank you for being on this episode.
Pleasure is mine. And if you need a last 2-minute guest, just text me and I'll just come on unprepared.
Sweet.
And I'll be ready to rumble.
And nice. We'll probably take you up on that. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Well, you've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us the time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.